Chapter 65. Sovereigns of the Swarm. The corridor did not become darker as they descended. It became brighter. That was worse. The heroes had grown accustomed to associating the Temple of the Swarm with concealed things, insects crawling within walls, traps disguised as wells, rooms that filled themselves with water, magic hidden inside crystals, roots growing where stone should have been. Darkness belonged here. So did green light, ash, rot, and the uneasy feeling that some intelligence watched them from places too small for human eyes. The radiance ahead belonged somewhere else. It spilled across the stone in long bands of white and gold. Fender stopped first. No one asked why. They could all feel it. The air itself seemed cleaner. Not empty of danger, quite the opposite. The sensation resembled approaching the summit of a high mountain before a storm, when every breath came sharp and cold, and the world seemed stripped of anything unnecessary. Hickson tightened his grip on Grim Harvest. The scythe reacted. Only slightly. The dark blade caught the approaching light without reflecting it. Kaler noticed. So your new weapon doesn't like this place. Hexen looked at Peacemaker. Yours isn't exactly glowing with approval. The black greatsword rested across Kaler's shoulder. Its strange protective influence surrounded them in a broad, unseen boundary, dulling the pressure of the magic ahead without eliminating it. Fenda's hand remained on the oath bow. Perhaps, he said, we could consider the possibility that every object we've received so far dislikes this place, because this place is trying to stop the demon who gave them to us. Nobody answered. That had become an increasingly difficult habit. They continued. The passage opened onto a vast inner hall. No one spoke for several seconds. The chamber had survived. That was the first thing Neftarel noticed. Nearly every other portion of the temple showed scars from changing masters, war, age, neglect, or whatever struggles had passed through the place before the heroes arrived. This hall remained almost untouched. Tall pillars of pale stone rose on either side of a broad central way. Their surfaces were carved with images of hunters, stars, animals running beneath trees, and figures descending from the heavens with weapons lowered rather than raised. There was no altar, no throne, no treasure visible, only defenders. Three stood in the light. The first appeared almost human until one looked too long. Tall, armored, beautiful in the cold, impossible manner of statues that it learned to breathe, great wings folded behind its shoulders, each feather catching the radiance as though edged in sunrise. A second being stood farther back. Fire moved across its body. Not the hungry orange of ordinary flame. White gold fire clung to it without consuming anything, outlining a humanoid form beneath the blaze. The third held a sword point down before it. Its wings remained spread, waiting. Fender slowly lowered the oath bow. Not because he felt safe, because raising it suddenly seemed obscene. The central celestial looked at them. Its gaze moved from Kaler's black greatsword to Izamu's crawling gloves, then to Grim Harvest and Hexen's hands. Understanding appeared in its expression. Not surprise. Something closer to grief. You were warned. Its voice traveled through the hall without echo. Kaler remained at the front. Yes. The Celestial looked toward him. And still you come. Kaler said nothing. There was no useful answer. The fiery being moved. Its flames brighten. The one you serve was imprisoned so that he could not spread his corruption into this world. Fender glanced toward Hexen. Hexen remained very still. The Celestial continued. The hunt held this place against him. Those who came before us held it. Those who died beneath your hands held it. Kaler's jaw tightened. None of the words were accusations they had not already made against themselves. Perhaps that was why they struck harder. Nethanarel looked beyond the defenders. There was another passage at the far side of the chamber. Deeper. The Swarm Lord wanted them through it. That was enough to understand the shape of the confrontation. The winged Celestial saw where she looked. No. Nethanarel met its gaze. No? You will go no farther. Fendor exhaled softly. At least there was clarity in that. Hexen stepped forward. The Celestial's attention shifted toward him. For the first time, its expression changed. You. One word. Hexen felt something twist inside his chest. The scythe seemed heavier. He had heard that tone before from beings who knew more about him than he knew about himself. You know me? He asked. I know what touches you. Hexen did not move. And what is that? The Celestial looked toward Grim Harvest. Ben at the tiny insect that had crawled onto Hexen's sleeve without him noticing. The swarm. Hexen brushed the insect away. It flew toward the darkness behind them. The Celestial watched it go. You are not beyond choice. The words entered the hall gently. That made them worse than condemnation. Kaler looked toward Hexen. For a moment, something passed across the druid's face. Not fear. Recognition. Then it vanished. Fender saw it. He filed the moment away. They had accumulated too many mysteries to interrogate each one during battle. The Celestial raised its sword. Leave. No one move. That was the choice. Not the fighting. This. There were moments in stories when heroes confronted impossible evil and needed only the courage to stand. This was not one of those moments. They were the intruders. The beings before them had stated their purpose plainly. They guarded the temple from a demon lord. The heroes had been offered power to remove them. Nothing more complicated was required. Kaler looked back at the others. Izamo stood with his hands loose at his sides. The insects within the gloves moved in quiet patterns. Nethner watched the defenders with an expression Kaler could not read. Fender looked angry, not at the Celestials, at them, perhaps at himself. Hexen stood with Grim Harvest. He was the hardest to read of all. Kaler looked again at the defender. We're not leaving. The Celestial closed its eyes, only for a heartbeat. Then may whatever remains of you remember that you were offered mercy. Its wings opened. The hall became war. The first Celestial reached Kaler before he completed a swing. Divine speed had nothing theatrical about it. One instant, the being stood 20 paces away. The next, its sword struck Peacemaker. Black steel met white fire. The impact shook Kayla's arms to the shoulders. Radiance exploded outward. The aura surrounding Peacemaker absorbed part of it, enough to keep Kaler standing, but the stone beneath his feet cracked. The Celestial attacked again. Kaler blocked. Again. He yielded one step, then another. There was none of the uncertainty he had felt fighting the Sanctuary Guardian. This thing was not a machine. It adapted. It watched him. It understood swordplay. Kalor shifted his grip and attacked from below. The Celestial turned the blow aside. Peacemaker's edge still cut through one layer of radiant armor. Light spilled from the wound. The Celestial recoiled. Kalor hated that light. Every wound inflicted upon these beings seemed determined to remind him what he was killing. Fender fired. His arrow crossed the chamber and struck the fiery defender. Flame surged. The shaft burned away. Of course. He drew again. The fiery being raised one hand. A weapon formed from light. Fender moved before it released. The blast struck the pillar behind him. Stone erupted. Fender rolled through the debris and came up shooting. His second arrow penetrated farther. The Celestial fire shuddered. That was enough. There were still things in the world that could be hurt. Fender concentrated on that. He had killed men who deserved it. Killed monsters that would have devoured villages. Killed creatures whose names he never learned because there had been no reason to. This felt different. His oath bow had once represented certainty. Choose the enemy. Swear them. Do not miss. A clean philosophy for a complicated world. Now he was firing it at an angel because a demon had promised him a reward. The bow worked perfectly. Fendo found that almost insulting. Izamu fought the fiery one. That happened because the battlefield placed him there, not because he chose the opponent. The Celestial moved toward Nefneril. Izamu entered its path. White flame covered the creature from head to foot. His first strike landed against its ribs. The swarm plubs moved. Power entered the blow. The Celestial turned. Its burning hand struck Izamu across the chest. Heat and radiance passed through him. He staggered. The insects inside the gloves became agitated. Izamu recovered. He struck again. Then again. Every movement remained disciplined. That mattered to him. The gloves did not control his hands. They did not choose his targets. They merely made every decision stronger. He had accepted that. The practical answer had been simple. A weapon was a weapon. What mattered was how it was used. The fiery Celestial attacked. Izamu slipped beneath the blow. His fist struck the creature beneath the ribs. Something tore. A gap appeared in the burning form. For one instant, Izamu saw what existed beneath the fire. Flesh. Or something close enough. The gloves opened. Not Izamu's hands. The gloves. Thousands of tiny wings erupted from his arms. Izamu froze. The swarm poured into the Celestial. Beetles entered the wound his fist had opened. Flies vanished into its mouth. Smaller insects crawled into its eyes and nostrils. Wasps disappeared beneath radiant armor. The Celestial screamed. Every fight in the chamber changed. Not stopped. Changed. Kayla heard the sound and turned. Fender lowered the oath bow without realizing it. Nethneril stared. Exon went pale. The fiery being clawed at its own body. Insects moved beneath the surface. The white gold flames flickered as the creature staggered backward. Izamu watched. For perhaps the first time since putting on the gloves, his composure broke completely. No. He reached toward the swarm. The insects ignored him. The Celestial fell to one knee. Something moved through its throat. Its chest convulsed. Radiant light burst through dozens of tiny wounds. Then the swarm erupted outward. The celestial collapsed. The flames went out. Silence caught the chamber for one impossible second. Insects hovered above the corpse. Izamal looked down at his hands. The gloves were almost empty. Then the swarm returned. Every insect flew back toward him. They struck his arms in a black cloud and disappeared into the gloves. The leather or skin, or whatever substance now covered his hands, became whole again. Izamal stared. "What did you do?" Nethnaro whispered. Izamu did not answer, because he had no answer. He had struck. The gloves had done the rest. The corpse at his feet looked almost mortal now. Almost. A celestial being lay dead because insects had eaten it from within. Izamu crouched. Something remained inside its ruined chest. Its heart. Still burning faintly. The impulse arrived. He could not later say whether it came from the gloves, the swarm lord, the temple, or something inside himself that simply understood what the magic demanded. Izamal reached into the wound. Hexen saw him. "Izamal." The monk pulled the heart free. It glowed in his hand. Kaler stared. "Don't." The Samu looked at them. The swarm moved across his wrists. He bit into the heart. Fender looked away. Nethnorel did not. Neither did Hexen. The flesh tasted of blood and heat and something like lightning. Izamu swallowed. The swarm erupted around him. Not attacking. Covering. For several seconds, Izamal vanished inside a cyclone of insects. Then they sank into the gloves again. The burns across his body faded. The wound on his chest closed. Strength returned to limbs that had been shaking. Izamal stood. No one spoke. The healing was undeniable. So was the price. Kaler looked at the dead celestial, then at Izamal. "Are you all right?" Izamal wiped blood from his mouth. "No." It was the most honest thing anyone had said since entering the hall. Then the remaining celestials attacked. The fight became uglier after that. Not because the heroes lost control, because they did not. They continued. Fender resumed firing. Kaler fought the winged sovereign across the center of the hole. Nethnaril used force and flame wherever openings appeared. Hexen brought Grim Harvest into battle, but avoided discovering whatever unrevealed appetite still slept within the scythe. Izamu fought with his hands. The gloves behaved normally. That almost made them worse. They did not release the swarm again. They merely strengthened each blow as though nothing extraordinary had happened. The surviving defenders knew what the gloves were now. One looked at Izamu with something close to horror. He saw it. He understood. He attacked anyway. There is no point pretending the moral boundary remained ahead of them. They had crossed it long before. The only question was how far they would walk after noticing. A celestial blade struck Kaler. Peacemaker's aura weakened the radiant force, but not enough. The dragonborn staggered. The winged defender raised its weapon for the killing stroke. Fendu's arrow struck through one wing. The celestial twisted. Kaler stepped inside its guard. Peacemaker hit. The black blade drove deeply. White light burst around Kaler. The celestial looked down at the sword. than at him. Its expression held no hatred. That was what Kaler would remember. You chose this. Kaler's hands tightened. Yes. He pulled the sword free. The Celestial fell. No corruption emerged. No demonic illusion shattered. A good creature died on the temple floor. Kaler stood over it. He did not look away. Across the chamber, the final sovereign raised both hands. Radiance gather. Nefnarl understood the danger before anyone else. Kaler. He moved. The party converged around Peacemaker. Its invisible boundary enclosed them just as divine fire filled the hall. The magic hit the sword's aura. The world turned white. Kaler felt the protection strain. Peacemaker did not cancel the attack. It resisted. That was enough. The heroes remained standing. Fendo stepped out first. He drew the oath bow. The last Celestial looked at him. For one heartbeat, elf and angel faced one another across the ruined hall. Sindor almost lowered the bow. Almost. Then he released. The arrow struck. Neftanarl's magic followed. Izamu crossed the distance. Hexen swung Grim Harvest. Kaler came last. There was no singular heroic finishing blow. No moment anyone would want carved into stone. Five people overwhelm one guardian. The sovereign fell among the others. The golden light in the hall dimmed. The heroes remained. They had won. Fendo hated the word. He walked among the dead without speaking. No one celebrated. Kayla cleaned Peacemaker slowly. Izamu sat against a pillar, staring at his insect-covered hands. Nethril stood near the far passage. Hexen remained in the center of the room. Grim Harvest rested against the floor. The scythe looked darker than before. Perhaps it was the missing light. Perhaps not. Fender crouched beside one of the fallen defenders. Something lay beneath its cloak. A sheath. He almost ignored it. They had enough magical objects. That thought would have sounded absurd a month ago. Now it seemed sensible. Fendo lifted the sheath. The moment he touched it, his attention went to the Vorpal longsword at his side. The fit was obvious before he tested it. He drew the blade, slid it into the sheath. Perfect. Something passed through the weapon. Fender's eyes narrowed. He understood enough immediately to dislike how much he liked it. The sheath sharpened the sword's killing potential. Not its edge. Its certainty. The Vorpal weapon had always carried the possibility that one perfect strike could simply end an enemy. The sheath widened that possibility. And there was something else. A strange secondary magic. Fender felt wings. Not real wings. The impression of them. Dark butterflies gathering somewhere beyond sight, waiting to be summoned. He stared at the sheath. Kaler noticed. What? Fender drew the sword halfway. You remember when I said we should stop accepting gifts from the Demon Lord? Several times. I have received a gift from the Demon Lord. Kaler looked at the sheath. Do you hate it? Fendor considered. No. That's inconvenient. Extremely. Extreme. Hexen came closer. What does it do? Fender pushed the Vorpal blade fully home. Makes the sword better at doing what the sword already does. Kaler nodded. Killing things. Yes. And... Fender frowned. Butterflies. Kaler stared. What? Death butterflies. That drew Isamu's attention even in his current mood. Nethinaril turned from the doorway. Hexen blinked. Fender looked defensive. I did not design it. Kaler almost smiled. The expression died before fully forming. A dead celestial lay 3 paces away. Fender looked down at the sheath. The Lord of Swarms had chosen well. That was the part none of them could deny. The ring came later. The chamber beyond the sovereigns appeared empty at first. It was smaller than the great hall, with several stone niches cut into the walls and a narrow raised platform at the center. Nethinaril stopped at the entrance. Trap. Benda looked at her. You can tell. No. Then why? Because we're in this temple. Fender nodded. Excellent reasoning. They entered carefully. The room rewarded caution by trying to kill them anyway. A section of floor shifted beneath Nethinaril's weight. Kaler caught her arm before she fell fully into the opening. Something flashed below. Not spikes. Magic. She pulled herself back onto solid stone. Thank you. Kaler glanced into the trap. You're welcome. Fender looked around. Anyone else miss treasure chests? No, Hexen said. At least you knew they were suspicious. The trapped recess contained several objects. Most were unremarkable. 8 small colored vials sat together in a case. Nethinaril examined. Magic? Fender asked. She frowned. No. That's suspicious. Everything is suspicious to you. Correct. They left the vials unresolved. Another object mattered more. A simple ring. Nethinaril held it up. The magic was not subtle. Protective. Steady. Nothing about it crawled. Nothing whispered. Nothing demanded blood. She slipped it under one finger experimentally. The enchantment settled around her. For once, the sensation was uncomplicated. Kayla looked at her. Anything terrible? No. Give it time, Fender said. Nethinaril ignored him. The ring strengthened the invisible defenses she carried around herself, not dramatically, enough. A small thing compared with Peacemaker, Grim Harvest, or Yisamu's living gloves. That made it almost comforting. It's protection, she said. Fender looked offended. Just protection? So far. No insects. No. Souls. No. Death butterflies. Apparently those are your problem. Fender sighed. Kaler looked toward the 8 colored vials. We taking those? Nethinaril studied them again. They don't appear magical. Hexen looked at the temple around them. Take them. Fender stared. Why? Because if we leave them, we'll spend the next year wondering whether one of them contained the secret to immortality. Fender considered. Fair. They packed the uncertain objects with the rest. There was also healing among what remained, something strong enough to be worth keeping, but nobody felt like discussing treasure. Not here. Not with the dead so close behind them. They returned to the Great Hall because it offered space. There were no other obvious defenders. That should have brought relief. Instead, the absence felt like judgment. Izamu was set apart. The others gave him time. Eventually, Hexen joined him. The druid lowered himself onto the stone without speaking. For several minutes, they watched nothing. Izamu finally raised one hand. A beetle crossed the back of the glove. Did I choose that? Hexen knew what he meant. The heart. The swan. Hexen thought carefully. You chose the punch. Izma nodded. The rest. I don't know. Useful answer. It's the one I have. Izamu watched another insect vanish between his fingers. I ate its heart. Yes. I knew what I was doing. Hexen said nothing. That distinction mattered. Maybe too much. Izamu looked toward him. I wanted to know what would happen. Hexen had no comfort to offer. So he offered truth. Ben, remember that? Isamo's expression tightened. You think I shouldn't have done it? I think if you tell yourself you had no choice, you make it easier to do the next thing. Izamu looked back at the gloves. That sounded like something Kaler might have said. Or Findo. Perhaps all of them were learning the same lesson too late. What about you? Izamu asked. Hexen's hand rested near Grim Harvest. What about me? You took the scythe. Yes. You killed the plant with it. Yes. You called Grazum. Hexen became still. Izamu waited. Yes. And we're still here. Hexen looked across the hall. Kayla sat with the black sword beside him. Fender examined the new sheath. Nefnerl studied her ring. 5 heroes. 4 gifts now visible. And Hexen's. 5. The Lord of Swarms had kept his promise. That should have meant their work was finished. Hexen did not believe it. No, he said. We're still here. They tried to rest. That had become another temple tradition. Fender took first watch. The celestial corpses remained where they had fallen. None decayed. None changed. Their presence made sleep difficult. Kaler eventually moved one of them away from the place where Izamu was trying to rest. No one commented. Nethanarl sat near Peacemaker's protective radius. Fender noticed. So now you like standing near Kaler. I like not being hit by magic. Same thing, apparently. Kayla opened one eye. I can hear you. Good. Hexen slept with Grim Harvest beside him. His dreams were full of insects. He expected that. The stag surprised him. A great shape moving between trees. Antlers like branches against moonlight. Watching. Hexen tried to follow. The dream shifted. He woke. Something had changed in the hall. Fender was standing, oathbow drawn. Kaler had Peacemaker in his hands. Izamu was already on his feet. Nethneril's magic glowed faintly around one palm. Hexen sat up. What? Fender pointed toward the far end of the chamber. Light gathered there. Not gold. Not swarm green. Something colder. The air folded. A figure appeared. Hunter's armor. Weapon ready. Beside the warrior materialized a greyhound. For a heartbeat, neither side moved. The heroes had killed the hunt's warriors when they entered the temple. Killed its beasts. Killed its celestial servants. Killed sovereigns of the divine host. And still the hunt came. The warrior looked across the bodies scattered through the hall. Then at the five people responsible. Its expression hardened. Kayla rose. So much for resting. The hound growled. Hexen stood with Grim Harvest in his hands. Deep beneath the temple, something answered with a distant vibration. Not a growl. Not stone. Buzzing. The hunt had found them again. And somewhere below, the swarm was waiting to return. Transcript tracking note E. Chapter 65, Sovereigns of the Sworn. Primary source, Recovered New Beginning, Episode 32, Sovereigns of the Swarm, recovered through local vibe transcription and preserved in the revised Swarm Temple arc continuity. Addendum. Episode 32 establishes the final celestial confrontations, the revelation of the Swarm Glove's grotesque power, Fender's Vorpal Sheath, Nethneril's Ring of Protection, and the transition toward Episode 33. Directly confirmed events used. Powerful Good Alliance Celestial Defenders explicitly warn the heroes not to advance. The party nevertheless attacks and destroys planetar-like and fiery radiant defenders. The underlying reason remains explicit. They are clearing the temple so the Swarm Lord, identified as a Demon Lord, can return more fully. The source identifies this sequence as the clearest moral threshold of the arc. The defenders are genuinely angelic, divine, divine good aligned, and must not be retroactively corrupted simply to make the hero's decision easier to justify. Izamu's Swarm Gloves. Confirmed reveal. The gloves enhance Izamu's unarmed combat. During the fight with a fiery celestial creature, a particularly successful strike triggers the glove's first fully revealed grotesque effect. Insects leave Isamu's gloves, enter the celestial through wounds and bodily openings, and devour it from within. Izamu subsequently tears out and eats the creature's heart. A swarm surrounds him and restores approximately 20 hit points. The precise rules relationship between heart-eating the swarm and the healing remains unresolved. The chapter therefore preserves the outcome without inventing a complete magical system. Fender item continuity. Fendo. Vorpo Sheath Acquire. It fits his existing 3 Vorpal Longsword. It expands the weapon's Vorpal effect to a natural 19-20. It can summon death butterflies once per 24 hours. The chapter dramatizes Fender discovering these properties after the celestial fighting. The exact physical pickup sequence is not securely preserved in the current continuity summary. Nethneril item continuity. Nethneril, Ring of Protection, acquired. It is recovered from a trapped temple chamber and ultimately assigned to Nethneril. Its confirmed effect is +1 protection to armor/defense and saving throws in game terms, translated here simply as a strengthening protective enchantment. Other recovered Episode 32 objects. 8 colored vials are present in Episode 32, evidence but do not register as magical. Their significance remains unresolved. A potion of superior healing is recovered from a dead celestial defender or nearby chamber. Because exact positioning custody is uncertain, the prose preserves healing treasure without assigning a definitive owner. These objects should remain secondary to the chapter's moral and character events. Connective reconstruction. The physical architecture of the Sovereign Hall, the number and specific appearance of the defenders, and most individual tactical exchanges or novelistic reconstruction around the confirmed planetar-like and fiery radiant opposition. The celestial dialogue is reconstructed rather than verbatim. The source-confirmed facts are that powerful celestial defenders warn the heroes away and oppose the Swarm Lord's return. Kaelor explicitly saying we're not leaving. Fendor's growing disgust with the bargain, and Hexen's conversation with Izumu are character-driven reconstruction, expressing the source-confirmed conscious moral compromise. Izumu's uncertainty after the glove's devouring effect is narrative interiority. The table evidence supports his practical acceptance of the gloves and the grotesque effect, but does not require portraying him as enthusiastic about what occurs. The Vorpal Sheath discovery and Ring of Protection room are arranged for narrative clarity because the current recovered continuity establishes acquisition and properties more securely than exact minute-by-minute placement. The chapter deliberately does not reveal Hexen's hidden Hunt Lord allegiance. That belongs to the Episode 33 payoff and must remain concealed until the next chapter. Moral continuity. The heroes understand that the beings they kill are genuinely defending the world from the Swarm Lord. Their motives remain individual rather than uniform, but they are not broadly mind-controlled. This chapter therefore does not provide a hidden revelation that makes their victims secretly evil. Character/item status at chapter N. Kaelor Peacemaker acquired. Place 3 Black Greatsword with Anti-Magic Resistance Aura. Izumu Swarm Gloves acquired. Enhanced Attacks and Horrific Devouring Healing Sequence now revealed. Hexen Grim Harvest acquired. Deeper properties unresolved. Fendor, Vorpal Sheath acquired. Vorpal Longsword now more lethal, with Death Butterfly ability. Nethnorel, Ring of Protection acquired. Grasim, remains dead, no manifestation in this chapter. Exact chapter endpoint, during another attempted rest after the celestial fighting, a hunt warrior and hound materialize, matching the recovered bridge into episode 33. Reserved for chapter 66, the quadruple agent, episode 33, the return of the swarm. The hunt warrior slash hound attack interrupts the rest and drives the final temple pressure. Izumu, not Hexen, casts earthquake. Hexen then reveals his hidden allegiance to the Hunt Lord. The table characterizes him as a quadruple agent, and he drives Grim Harvest into the temple as part of his attempt to destroy the Swarm Lord's foothold. The Hunt Lord's manifestation assists as the collapsing temple slides into the frozen ocean. Hexen returns to his moon druid identity, and the group reaches level 15. The reveal must not be rewritten as evidence that the whole party secretly shared Hexen's plan.